Bin. There's a scripture that I want to get to. Give me a second. I just heard it just now walking in here. Matthew 24, Jesus talking to him. There's a lot of conversation with him before it's time for him to do what he's got to do as far as dying on the cross. I want to jump ahead of myself. The Lord showed me just a couple seconds ago. He showed me why. Wait, y'all scoot over some. Where y'all gonna sit over here? Four, five. Y'all gonna sit over here? I'm gonna scoot over. Come on, say it. Come on, come on. Yeah. Maybe this will help you understand why God will use a broken vessel. Or use a broken person, or somebody that may not seem so up to par, because inside of that box I can hide the mystery. The mystery and his way of doing things is not just for every old body. And so if you're going to be a judgmental person that's looking down on people, sometimes you'll never see the truth. Jesus was born in Nazareth. He was born in Nazareth. He came from Nazareth. If you do any research in the history, Nazareth is not the best place. They say, why couldn't he been born in Galilee or another place, some prestigious place or in the Roman Empire? Why? Because he's going to be a king. Why wouldn't he be born there? Oh, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So I'm going to take a broken situation. Jesus was born to a baby mama. Y'all just come on. Y'all just go with me. All right? Stop. You get it? But he's born to what? We'd have shunned her. Y'all know what we'd have done. Amen. What you mean? You never? Well, who the daddy? Who, right? So I just understand. I just heard this that God, he'll use the broken thing to hide the truth. Because if the high-minded don't need the truth, what they need to do is come out the house. Y'all understand what I'm saying? To use the broken. So this will help you, and I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna go. But understand that process. Can you understand that? Mm-hmm. So now it's not that you're trying to get good enough to be used. You get it? Now, isn't that a concept that we learn though? Mm-hmm. That you got to be good enough. Even you got to watch yourself in school, because you think after you finish your 2-year course, you're ready. But you're ready now. Yeah. Ready for what? Well, now we go to the regular. I'm gonna start a church. Nope. Listen, that's not the end of the world, no. God's will is for me to have a church, a ministry, fly over the world, and whatever our concept of a ministry is. Shut up. Stop. Please. I done done it all. It ain't all that. At the end of the day, stuff got to change. Yeah. Right. Who you want to fly to? I flew there. Y'all get what I'm saying? You change your concept. See, the problem we have is concept. All right? And see, this is why living by the book is important. And I really live as the book, right? But what you conceive is important. What you is conceiving, it's your birthing. What you conceive is very, very important. So let me deal with this first, though. You don't have to go get good for God to use you. Jacob was a liar and a thief. God named Israel after him. Abraham, the father of faith. He's a coward. He said, that ain't my wife. Not only did he deny it, he said, I don't know her. I can see, oh, you don't know me now, huh? We live by the book. Now, yeah, it's funny, but we live by the book. Use your imagination. We live by the book now. Like, oh, you don't know me? right? Then the curse come upon the people, and they're like, what have you done to us? And then his son and his grandson did the same thing. Like Isaac did the same generational thing. He did the same thing. That's where we get that scripture, Isaac sold in the day of famine. Right, that came right after the fact they was like, man, get this woman out of here. You done brought this woman in here. Why you ain't tell me that was your wife? Nah, cursing came upon us because of you. You know what I'm saying? Get her out of here. He was called Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Them three. Two of them was called, one of them was a liar. David was a womanizer. Solomon was a bigger womanizer. He got the double anointing of his daddy. Come on, y'all. Like, no. Yeah. As a father, so and we increased, right? Increase ain't just what you increase the seed, whatever the seed is. Bear fruit after its kind. Are you understanding me? He called David a man of God's my own heart. He didn't say that about nobody else. And Solomon was the wisest man after Jesus. Until Jesus got the wisest man ever living. But all that. Sometimes we have a lopsided understanding of faith and hope because we have a lopsided understanding of what's really going on. See, you have a lopsided, understand what's going on, all right? And if you think that you'll never get used. Now you say, don't teach that because you mean I got to go out and get, no, you ain't got to go out and get nothing. You already got enough cracks. Oh, you got enough brokenness. You ain't going to tell nobody, but you got enough. You're not going to tell nobody your broken pieces. And here's how I understand it. And maybe one day you will. All right? Because we have a lopsided. A guy preached a message about Abraham years ago, and that's why I'm talking about it just now. Because the father of faith, and for years, I was like, the father of faith, and then we get to, over in Hebrew, talking about the hall of faith. You know, they say, by faith, Abraham, when he, and bah, 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 bah. And so I'm like, man, Abraham, faith, man. The faith, I got to give my faith like Abraham, faith. And then, but I realized that the father of my faith was disobedient. The father of faith, who they called him, let's go before Jesus, right? The father of faith was scared. Father of faith didn't really walk in faith in some instances. When the man preached that, I did this. I'm not crazy. I'm not tripping. My shortcoming is not really my shortcoming. My strength is made perfect where? You don't have to go get none. You have to go get none, you got them. You got enough right now. You get it? And so I was living by the, like living, that made me understand because otherwise you're chasing something that you can't reach. Y'all get it? Why people, I be tweeting and stuff. Why people like to, what do people do? They say, put your best foot forward. What's up with the other foot, though? Because you can't walk without the other one. So if the best foot, this is the best foot, and this, not so good, then it's going to be something, but you ain't told me you limping. And you didn't tell me that nothing was wrong with limping sometimes. Best foot forward. And you ain't tell me nothing about the other foot. Right? Y'all know it. You meet somebody. Those of y'all married, y'all know when y'all first, you put your best thing forward. Put your best clothes. You lie about it a little bit, right? But trying to put your best foot forward. Right? No, leave that other foot. Send that crusty picture to me. And then let me really realize how I feel. Yeah, send me that one. Tell me that other thing. And then let me see. Is it love? Right? Is truth, you ready? This is going to be a trick question for you. Ready? Is truth good? It is, huh? It is? It's good. Truth is good. Truth is good. Truth is good. Right? Now you're thinking truth bad. No, I'm not good and evil good. But like, is truth always like the good thing you want to hear? Truth is truth. Truth don't take your charge. I learned that today. Truth is truth. And whatever that truth is going to make you free. You get it? Sometimes that back foot got you in bondage. Because leave it the other foot. What I realized that nobody does that. Rarely do people do that. All of us. Right? Like, rarely do we lead. And I'm not saying you have to. It's not a principle. It's not a, God told you to lead the back foot. No, it's not it. I'm saying that sometimes there's a lopsided understanding. This is why you got to live by the book. We're still talking about living by the book. This is why you got to go and search for yourself. Job. Right? Don't go to Job right now. Just listen to my story. Right, let me talk about Job. All the stuff going on in Job, enemy say, well, I bet if I do this to him, all this, and I'm paraphrasing. God said, he ain't going to change his mind. Everything wipe out, right? Job got about 36, 37 chapters in. I'm not sure how many last chapter, right? And I heard this the other day that, you know, what we know about Job, he get afflicted. We know the quick one about his wife, talking about curse God and die. You know, and then Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, right? Oh, Job. For 30-something chapters, Job was going back and forth with his friends complaining. Mm-hmm. And they're going back and forth, like, I don't know why he did it. Job, you must have done something wrong. I don't know. And then Job saying good stuff, then he ain't saying too such a good stuff. Did you read all those chapters? No. You read them popular ones, right? And so now you have a lopsided faith. It takes a mixture for it to manifest the right way. You don't want all salt. You the salt of the earth. Right? Don't nobody want all salt. Don't put no seasoning, just put salt. How many things work together for good for them to love God? All of them? Even the ones that you said was bad? Even the experiences you had that, like, nobody should go through that? And I understand. I would probably say the same thing, but go through. Because it's giving you flavor. But if I don't live by the book and I don't read this context and I don't understand what's going on, say, you listen to me? If I don't understand what's going on, then I don't understand what's going on. Then I think that I'm crazy. And the enemy will ride piggyback on that. Make you think you're a failure. Make you think you're a loser. Make you think God will never do anything with me. Well, he don't remember. Who cares what that was? He was in Christ as a... Come on. He is in Christ as a what? Old things are. And behold, all things, all of them, even the old ones. Oh, how do old things become new? How do old things pass away and become new? Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. This is context. You ready? This is a context. And it's an easy answer. Y'all ready? How do old things pass away and become new? All right, I'm going to say it in a different way. I'm use context. Use words, all right? My grandparents on my father's side passed away before I was born. What that mean? That mean they died? When you say passed away, that mean they died before I was born, right? So we know what pass away means, right? So he was like, because old things are. So how do old things, because all things are made new. So that means all things include the old things. All things, everything, including the old and the new things, right? So how are those dead things made new? Right? Rebirth. There's another rural word. Recreate is another rural word I'm looking for. We're gonna have this kind of Sunday in April. So those old things die and resurrect as a new thing. The Bible says the seed has to go into the ground and die. Mm-hmm. Then it come up. So there's some of those old things. They had to die. Thank God they died. You know what I'm saying? You don't want them living in you.
Right?
Right? But in their dying, there's a resurrection, a revelation, an understanding that may not have come through me because I didn't deal with that old thing. But I got my old things. But the context, see the context of it. Everybody say context. It's one of the most important words you're gonna ever learn when you're dealing with studying and reading the Word of God. It's context. And we learn context clues in school and in English and in reading. We used to reading when we was younger than it was English. We learned what context clues were. That means you had to take things around what the subject was and figure out what was going on. We used to define words. Word that we didn't know the definition of, we used to use context in the sentence to really realize, well, what does this word mean? This one word, we're going to take it out. What is all this other stuff? Okay, well, this is what that mean. Or we get to close to a definition of what this mean by the context. Context. It's con, I learned in Spanish, and I said it before, but con, the word C-O-N means with. So it's with the text. What comes with the text? What comes with what you're reading? What comes with what's going on? Y'all getting? Context. This is living by the book. You have to take everything in context. There are some things in the Gospels that Jesus wasn't talking to you about, but he's talking to you. Oh, that don't make no sense, Montreal. What are we doing? We're searching for the deep things, right? Right. So we're not being shallow right now, right? No. Okay. So he wasn't talking to you, but he's talking to you. Depends on your context. Depends on you understanding the context. I'll give you a scripture right now. Gotta go Luke chapter 11 real quick. And I'll show you what I'm talking about. And then Luke 11, and just start reading from verse 1. Go ahead. We're going to read together. Ready to read. And I'm just letting you know we're going to read about a good 13 or 14 scriptures, but we're going to read. All right, ready to read. All right, power, Lord, teach us to pray. So now we go to this, and if we just read this, we realize we're going to learn how to pray right now. Right? Keep reading. Keep going. That's your prayer. There we go, right? Come on, y'all read up. Come on. Read together. Y'all know where y'all at? Verse 4. And forgive us our sins. We also forgive everyone that is indebted unto us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go on them at midnight and say to them, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey to come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And he within him shall answer, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to thee. Y'all understand the story going on. Now, Jesus is telling the story. You're going to go to a friend late after hours. They already going to bed. I just got the child to be quiet. Stop knocking on my door.
Right.
I am not. I don't care. You should have asked me earlier. You should have came got that bread while the sun was still up. I'm not getting up to come open this door. Call me tomorrow. I said, though he will not rise and give because he is a friend. This is what I'm saying. Yet because of his importunity. Importunity, you don't know what that word means, do you? Do we know what importunity means? Who knows what importunity means? Not one person in the room. Importunity, if you look up the word importunity, right? But we're going to read across. Have you ever read this before? And we just read it because you're importunate. And we assume that we knew what importunity meant. So we just like, all right, well, importunity. We have to look it up. Importunity means begging. Because you're begging and you're pleading and you're obnoxious beating on my door. So now, listen to what I'm trying to say. Because of your importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And he said to you, ask and it shall be given to you. You know this one, right? Huh? Then when we take this scripture and we preach it by itself, ask and it be given to you, right? Seeking and it shall find. Knocking it shall be open to you. And we preach and we holler. For everyone that asks to receive him, he that seeketh find it. And him that knocketh shall be open. If a son of man asks bread of any of you, we know all these, right? There's the father. Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a, for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, right? So we preach this, right? We ask, seek, knock, right? And there are some principles in there that you can take. But you, let me I gave it to my last class. I'll tell you what the Lord showed me the other day. He said, if you try to get content, this is what I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all got to listen to me well, all right? And what's what we do? A lot of times we go to the Bible for content, not contact. Oh, you know you do it. We do it. Come on, everybody say amen. I need everybody say so be it. Everybody say so be it. Everybody say amen. Everybody say so be it. Because that's what we do. We go for content, not contact. We think, shut it up, and lift our hands for the contact. We think they're different things. And we got to pray and then this is going to. No, there's no difference. Are y'all with me? I got to challenge some of that stuff just because it's those little small things that mess you up. See, the problem is the understanding problem. The problem, all right, in the beginning, what messed up? Remember the mess up in the beginning? You said we three parts, right? Right? Come on, y'all, come on. Three parts. I am a spirit, I have a, and I live in a. I am a, I have a, and I live in a. I am a, I have a, and I live in a. Now, what? I am a spirit. What spirit is that? What spirit is that? Holy Spirit, God's spirit, the breathed into man, he became a living, right? Right? That's God. Ain't nothing wrong with that. All right? Then he molds you up from the dust. That's your body part, right? Ain't nothing wrong with that, right? But where did you have your problem? In your soul. He breathed into man. Man became a living soul. But then when you eat off the tree, your soul started living another way. It wasn't just based on life anymore. Now it was based on knowledge of good and evil. You see how shaky that foundation is. Tomato, tomato. What's good for them might be evil for you. What's evil for them might be good for you, right? That's a shaky foundation. So you had a soul problem. We've had a soul problem. Y'all get it? Our understanding has been off. All right? So now we've been going to the scripture. And that's why I'm saying this about praying and about reading. You got to put it together. It's all one thing. It's not, I make contact over here and I get content from over here. No. You get it? And he told me these words. You ready? He said, if you try to get content without context, you'll make no contact. That's clear as day. I'm clear as day. He said, if you try to get content without context, you'll make no contact. So this is why we can get the scriptures. And we can try to work the scriptures, but we don't get the manifestation because we hadn't had any context. We didn't get what came with it. Right? You buy a new whatever. Whatever you buy, right? You buy a new radio, right? Come in the box, pretty, everything look on the front of the box, everything you ready to set it up, but it didn't come with the plug. How well are you going to use that? No. Turn it on. Let's turn it on. Turn the music up. Turn it up loud. No, you didn't get what came with it. So because you didn't get what came with it, anybody ever eaten the ramen noodles? They come in a pack? You will go, you like them, don't you, right? You go crazy, that little pack of seasoning wasn't in there, huh? We'll call and complain. We're gonna complain into the office. I got a pack. We'll take it back to the store. I got a pack. They didn't come with it. And what comes with it gives the context. But if you try to get content without context, you'll make no. Are y'all with that? So now we back in chapter 11, and we're looking, and you know, asking, seeking, knocking. And that's, so now you're trying to pull a principle. Now you're trying to pull a principle out. Now, so now you saying, if I ask, and there's a principle in there, don't get me wrong. So I'm not knocking that. But at this particular time, we have to use our imagination to understand that Jesus didn't write the Bible. Y'all know that, right? I don't. Oh, no. Y'all got to get that out. You might have thought he wrote it. Jesus didn't write the Bible. He's not the author of the Bible. Jesus didn't, because if Jesus wrote the Bible says if everything is recorded that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to hold it. So you understand your book will be much bigger, be much more read. You probably be much more trying to study all that other stuff, right? This is what I'm trying to say. So Jesus didn't write the Bible. Jesus went up there and said, all right, y'all write this about me. No, these are accounts. This is somebody that was sitting with Jesus, and thank God, I appreciate it, that decided to write what he was saying. Jesus said, write this down. Jesus ain't do that. Jesus doing what he was doing. Right? Jesus didn't intend for the scriptures to run your life because he said it's certain scriptures. When you think you have eternal life, but they testify to me, but you want to come all the way to me, life in the life, life alive, life in the flesh. Right? So this principle, but if you don't get what comes with it. Are y'all with me? So we're still in chapter 11, right? Ask, seek, knock. So now we're going off on our tangent. Whatever I ask for, well, I got a question for you. Why is it that you asked for something and it didn't happen? Why is it that you knocked? All right, see, this is the other part. This is the other side that we don't want to be real about. We don't talk about our failure. We say when the Lord spoke to us and we hit it. We don't talk about the time we thought the Lord spoke to us and we missed it miserably. And there's a greater lesson in that than the other one. We like to go up, but we don't like to talk about the get up. It's a good one, ain't it? Right? And so here it comes again. So we don't want it because we think it's attacking God or it's making God a failure, but it's not. God knows. We don't want to talk about times that we asked and we didn't receive. Have you ever asked and didn't receive? Everybody say yeah. Because I know you did it. And then sometimes years later you happy. I'm glad you didn't. I didn't receive that, God. God, you knew better. And then we said, Lord, you know better than me. You know me better than I know myself. Duh, I told you that. How many times you knocked and it wasn't open? All right, so now it's like, all right, so hold on. If you ask for a fish, you're going to get you a serpent? No. All right, why you got them snakes, though? Are y'all understand what I'm saying? Now watch this. Listen to what I'm saying. Now, when I give you context of this passage, then you'll make contact with the content. You get it? And then now the asking and the seeking and the knocking is going to come home for you when I give you context. All right? Now, y'all ready? Now, there's one quick thing that you read this before? Anybody read this before? You read Luke chapter 11. Y'all done read over this before, right? Read over this. Yeah, right. There's one little thing that I overlooked one day. Can I tell you how I got to it? I'm going to tell you how I got to it so we can get some understanding. I'm in prayer. We pray every morning at 8 o'clock here as a staff. So I'm in prayer. And I'm never one to just be doing stuff because we're supposed to be doing stuff, right? I hate busy work. Don't give me no busy work. Give me a purpose. Don't just tell me well, we ain't got nothing for you to just staple these papers. No, I don't want to do that, right? I need purpose, right? I don't like doing stuff just because somebody said do it. Like I need understand. Like I need to know what's going on. All right. So even in prayer, and I've been praying for years, but even in prayer, I still to this day say, God, what are we doing? When I'm praying in tongues for the next 30 minutes, what am I doing? I understand I'm speaking the mysteries, right? I understand that when I speak in unknown tongues, I'm speaking unto God, not the man. I understand that I'm building myself in more holy faith, but come on, God, tell me, because I'm always trying to learn. What? Because I'm not just going to be like, well, I'm just building up myself, so I'm out of the box. No, because my mind's still running. Y'all know your mind be running while you're praying in tongues? So now while it's running, I'm asking God, well, where are we running to? I asked for the mystery. Yeah. Lord, I receive the mystery right now. And then this is what he do. See, you pray a minute. My daughter, because you're praying in tongues. And say, Lord, what? Boom, he starts talking to you. That's time to stop. Stop trying to do your marathon. Well, I said I was going to finish. Nope, stop. Or do your other 14 minutes later. Yeah. Right now it's time to listen. Yeah, right. 'Cause this is what we were talking about. Right. Now I'm about to reveal something to you. So I'm sitting right there in the booth there, and I said, well, we're praying. So I said, well, praying. I said, well, then the scripture, Lord, teach us how to pray. So I start searching for her. 'Cause I was like, why does nobody ever use that scripture for prayer? We do a lot of prayer meetings and classes and sermons. But nobody ever really uses that one like saying. I said, well, now I got to get on my line. Well, this is a great, maybe the Messiah teaches, the Lord teaches to pray, then this is the one we need to look at, right? We don't go there. So I go there. So I'm reading. So I'm thinking, I'm going, I'm looking for one thing. He about to hit me with something else. Right, so I go there and I read it and I read through it. That's all right. So then it gets to importunity, the word that none of us know, that we've been reading over and over again. Persistence, right? There it is. We've been reading over and over again. We're reading over. You know you didn't read over it. And you never stopped to see what it was. You just thought importunity was opportunity. You ain't know what it was. It sounded like that word, so I'm going to just go with that one. But it means your persistence. Your persistence. Sometimes it says, no, sometimes I look at the begging. Yo. So I said, well, with Jesus, you telling me to beg? Are you telling me to keep begging? Keep begging? But that ain't how we I learned to speak to it and become. Jesus ain't begged that tree to die. He spoke to that tree. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, what, Jesus, what you telling me? What you telling me? Jesus, what are you telling? Because see, you got to ask those questions. Yeah, right. That's a good one. Jesus, what are you telling me? Yeah. You can write that down. That's a good question to ask when you're studying, especially when you're reading these red words, which are the most important words. What are you telling? What are you telling me? I don't care how you say, Jesus would tell me, Holy Spirit would tell me, God, I don't care which one you decide to pick. What y'all telling me? All right? And so I'm looking, so, yo, you telling me to beg? And I was like, well, no. So now I'm battling in my mind because I know another place he told me, you know, I don't even really got to beg, just speaking and it become, right? So you speak the mountain, so I said, okay. Because he never told me to beg the mountain and it'll move. He told me to speak to the mountain and it'll move. So now I'm battling in my head, right? And Jesus is taking me somewhere, right? So I'm battling in my head. So I'm supposed to beg, whatever, because this ain't teaching how to pray. The Lord's Prayer, I'm cool. Then he told me that if I keep begging them, they're going to come give me something, my friend. He's going to come up and give me. So I said, well, what's going on? So then I keep reading. And he starts talking about the good father and the good son, and then wouldn't give his son a fish. And so we know that part too, right? You've not been evil. So we go through that whole thing and said, verse 13. And we're going to read it slow. All right. I just want to show you something real quick. You ready? Read it. Ready to read. If ye then being evil. I'm just playing, y'all. If ye then. This is what I'm saying. Let me read it. You look at it. You follow me. All right. If you then being evil. I said, well, who's evil? I ain't see that one just now, right? But like, okay. Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father, y'all with me? Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And the buzzer went off. On that last line. I'm trying to tell you something, son. Let me show you what's going on here. Then when I show you what's going on, you'll know what's going on here for you. What did that last line say? How much more shall your what? Heavenly Father do what?
Give the Holy Spirit.
Give who? Give what?
Holy Spirit.
Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. This whole passage is supposed to be teaching us how to pray, right? So when we pray, we're supposed to be asking for the Holy Spirit right now? I don't know. Do we have the Holy Spirit or are we asking for him? Did he send the comforter or are we still waiting on him? No. Come on. All right, now. Are y'all with me? Y'all with me now? Come on. Hold on. I'm going to show you something. So now, all right, now, 2018, right now.
Right?
Do we have the Holy Ghost or are we asking for him?
We have him.
So can we have him? Yeah. He already, Book of Acts and have him, all that, right? Like we got him.
Right.
And to be honest, we had the Holy Spirit of God in us already, but we just didn't realize
right. From
the beginning. People are going to fight me about that one, but it's the truth because God's spirit didn't change from the beginning. He didn't change. There wasn't another spirit that came into us and then no, it was some understanding. You didn't, and Jesus had to give you understanding in the flesh. And then covenant, illumination, light. And his light was the light of men. That's what we read in John, all right? So, but we'll talk about that another time, right? But you got the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So what is this then? So now my next question is, he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to them. That's the same. Keep begging for the Holy Spirit. He's going to give it to you. The same thing they told him in the book of Acts. He said, y'all just wait and keep asking, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Right? Because they looking at Jesus said, well, teach us how to pray, because something Jesus was doing that was different than what they was doing. You get it? So they don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. They don't know whether, we ain't know whether there be no Holy Spirit in another verse, right? Right? Now Jesus right here in this context, remember now Jesus didn't write the Bible. So he wasn't writing this story to you. This is an account of a conversation. And he's telling them, I'm going to get the Holy Spirit to y'all, right? He's talking to them that was right there with him. Okay. Which means to me, now I need to go back to the beginning of this thing and realize that he was talking to them and not to me because I already got the Holy Ghost, right? So when I realize, listen to me, when I realize that I got the Holy Ghost already, then now I got context. See, I didn't just go to ask, seek, and knock, which is what we do. Hey, man, come on. We go to Lord's Prayer. We go to ask, seek, and knock, being a good father. We even go into verse 13 and we don't finish it. If you being a good father, you being even know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should your heavenly father give unto you? And so now we just, he gonna give us good things because he do better than us. But you don't realize he's saying, he's talking specifically to them who didn't have it. Now, when you who got it already, go back and read this context. You get it? You don't have to go and beg because you're already. So now my asking is different now. Huh? My knocking is different too. See, my knocking before would have been. Now it's like. I'm just letting you know I'm coming, but I'm coming in. You ever been knocking it up? That's, oh, y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? So not even the Lord's Prayer in that version of it, you know, we like to read Matthew 6 and 9, but even the Lord's Prayer in that version makes more sense to me now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Like right now. Everybody say right now.
Right now.
I'm gonna say it again right now.
Right.
I'm gonna say it again right now. Right. I had my class last night in the last class, and I told them, you need to change now. Everybody say change now. When do you need to change? Now, I need to change my mindset now. I need, let me say, the reason there's delay is because you've delayed changing. So every delay in your life is because you delayed the change. You've delayed your faith and you've delayed your belief. There is no delay in God, right? But the reason that you're delayed is because it's your Bible. Hebrews, now, faith is. When?
No.
So I need to change the way that I approach right now. So what did that teach me? That taught me. What does it teach you? That taught me, whoa. Well, first of all, I wasn't paying attention.
Right.
Was it? Come on.
First time I seen it.
And now, don't get me wrong, because I'm going to act like I've been deep and I've been holding this gym in for years. I got this the other day sitting right there, and I'm still trying to get in, because now I got to take that same concept, the same conceiving that I got, and apply it to everything.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
I got to take that. I know the all scriptures are given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and it's profitable for doctrine, and I understand that. But sometimes we can take that thing, and it takes the life out of it, because it becomes a rule book and not a real book. Right? It becomes a list and not life. Come on, y'all know we've been trying to follow the law, not life. The law is like a list. And it becomes that and not life and there's no blood pumping through it. That's why Jesus had to come and the word became flesh, because when the blood pumped through it, it's just like me and you. Y'all get what I'm saying? This is why our experiences are important, because when I explain to you what's going on, or you explain to me your experience bears witness with me as a human. Are y'all understanding? So if I have to take that and apply it to everything that I read now. And understand that, first of all, and I'm making a statement, he wasn't talking to you, but he was talking to you. But you got to hear him. You get it? I was reading Upon This Rock, I'll Build My Church, right? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, right? And I give you the keys. You know, we take that and we preach it, and we make it in the congregational preaching, but Jesus is in there talking to disciples right there. And I don't even know he was talking to all of them. He's just talking to Peter. So can you imagine this? Can you use your imagination for a quick second? Can y'all use your imagination for a quick second?
Yeah.
Imagination. You ready? Whole room preaching, and I'm just going to preach to you the whole time. I'm going to preach to you. And I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm going to give you the key. And whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound on, whatever you loose on earth. And y'all are like, well, what about me? You ain't get the revelation.
Yeah, it's mine too.
Yeah, see, something to say. It says mine too. Yeah, right. Right. Y'all get what I'm saying?
So now
you wasn't talking to me, so I got to get the context of what you were saying. Right? I get to find out which way the wind blowing, all that. Because, you know, you have me out here. All right, well, I got another one for you. Now we get to washing people's feet. Yep. I'm sorry. If anybody y'all know washing people's feet, I'm not trying to make fun of them. Or they did a spiritual ceremony about feet washing ceremony. I'm making fun. All right. But I have to bring context. Okay. The only reason that they wash feet in the Bible is because they was walking around in the dust all day. Open toe, well, you know your feet. You ever smelled your feet? I see, that's a bad thing. That's, you know, put the good foot forward, but you don't want to talk about that old funky foot. Right? Your foot go out there in the dust along the old dirt foot, right? Your old foot go out. Right? So the custom was, when you go to somebody's house, you come to my house, I'm going to give you some water to wash your feet, and I give you some oil to anoint your head. Because you might be a little dry from walking in the sun all day. All lotion, ashy. You anoint my head. No, just get some grease on you. I'm going to tell the truth on it now. So now we have these wash feet. And the only reason Jesus washed the disciples' feet, because he was just showing that I'll serve you just like you serve me. Ain't no hierarchy here. Yeah, I'm going to wash your feet. Now, I'm going to wash all y'all feet. No. Go sit down. I'm going to wash y'all feet. Sit down and take your shoes. I'm washing y'all feet. I'm going to show you how this thing really works. But it's really that is a principle in that. But the custom, the power wasn't in the washing. But there it is. You get it? You get it? You got it. So now context. So now realize. So in 2018, you don't need to have a foot washing ceremony. And think that something supernatural is about to happen because you wash somebody's feet. Because really, you don't need your feet. Go wash your feet when you go take a shower.
Right.
Now you got showers and running water. Right? You can do these things. Right? I'm not walking around like a dirt foot right now. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Right? Right? Yeah, I get some leather. I know. I'm not walking around. Are y'all understanding me? But, so I have to find out what the context was. Now we go to the story about washing feet. So now, can I take you to a quick story real quick? And I don't know if you could have handled this in coming day. In a couple minutes, I'm going to do it real quick. I don't know if you could have handled this. Remember the woman washed Jesus' feet with her hair?
Oh, yeah.
And broke it all over his head? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can handle that. Because pastor, whoever your pastor is, come in and sit down in church. I'll come and sit down at the holy house. At somebody, one of the elders to the house. All the elders come over, so it's a holy place. That's where he was, at a Pharisee house. First of all, the Pharisee messed up because he didn't offer no water, no oil to anoint Jesus' feet. So he's trying to disrespect him on the slick. And he chewed him out at the end, right? Yeah. He's trying to disrespect him. So now, this girl that snuck in, not only was it just a girl, but she was a whore. So they knew. The neighborhood, y'all think about, I'm not trying to talk bad about nobody. But y'all remember the girl in school. All right, whatever. You just know who you be judging. You know who you thought who was who, right? And she walk in and get on her knees in front of your pastor and start crying on his feet and take her hair and start wiping on his feet. No, the armor bearer's about to get her. Us about to escort her out the room. Are y'all getting it? Don't put this all on Jesus. Don't be putting it all on my pastor, on my man of God. He said, if you was a prophet, the man tried to rebuke, if you was a prophet, you would know who this woman was that doing this. He said, you don't even know. He said, you try to disrespect me by not giving me no water and giving me nothing to anoint my head. He said, I come in here to bless your house, and you ain't give me no water to wash my feet and no oil to anoint my head. This woman then came in and snuck in here. Do you not know she's preparing me for my burial? Then he told her, go and don't sin no more. He freed her from her sins because of her actions. You get it? The only reason that was powerful because old boy didn't do what he was supposed to do and offer the feet, the water for the feet. Y'all get it? All I'm trying to say is this. I'm going to say this and I'm gone. That we can get a couple more hours of that right there, huh? Like if we could go like that. So do it when you go home. And just go read in context. And go read what's going on. He's always speaking to you, but you got to know what was going on at a particular time. And then you realize how it relates to your time. Y'all get it? Amen. And the Bible get fun like that, man.